Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Introspection and Banter podcast, the one of the many podcasts you can find out there where it's a bunch of Zoomers talking about doomsday and the end of the world. And for today's subject, death. Joining me today, we have Gabe.
Hi.
Way to go. We have Zachary.
Your boy Z Money. What's up?
We have Anthony.
Thank you for the introduction.
And we have me, Michael, playing Michael for today. Kicking us off, I just have one question. Since today's subject is about death, what's everyone's final meals?
I'll start. I thought about this actually a bit. In my final meal, I want some white rice with beef stew. The way how grandma used to make it. Potatoes, sauce, the nine yards.
Pretty good.
For me, I'm a steak man myself. Listen, it's a 64 ounce or bust. Hands down. You know, you gotta go with the big piece.
So you said 64 ounce?
Yeah.
That man said 64 ounce. That man said 64 ounce. Yes.
What cut?
Probably prime. Nothing with bone in it. Bone is awful.
I was about to say, you get yourself like a nice 64 ounce tomahawk steak.
No. It's just 64 ounce of just bone. No meat. Just bone.
just the bone.
The thickest T in the T rib you've ever seen.
Fucking T rib. How prepared? Well done? Medium rare?
Medium rare.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, my friend.
It's got to be, although I am an A1 sauce guy, I do ruin it. Zach, what about you? What's your final meal looking like?
So it's a really hard question, right? But I think that, like, off the top of my head, I will go with, like, yo, Gordon Ramsay can make me some mac and cheese because I love mac and cheese, right? So I'm thinking Gordon Ramsay come up, you know, and, you know, really, actually, if Gordon Ramsay's making the meal, I want, like, three course, right? I want, like, appetizer, then entree, and then dessert, right? So I know for the entree I'm definitely thinking mac and cheese, and then for like the dessert and the appetizer, not 100% on that one. Dessert, you know, I don't know, there's probably something real fancy you could make me. I'd just be like, yo, give me some, like, I don't even know, there's so many dishes out there. I'm not like a connoisseur. I'm not a chef really at all. I'm not super good at that. So, yeah, I just wanted Gordon Ramsay to make me some fire food.
We said like a last meal. My man wants a whole like three course.
I was gonna say last meal, and then this man's out here going like, "Yeah, I want the 5-star Gordon Ramsay experience."
Yeah, I don't think he told us dessert. What are you drinking? Is he pouring like bubbly?
Do you want some tiny towelettes that you get some
good alcohol? I'm about to get.
My man was like, "It better be like 5 Michelin stars."
Like, I mean, like, I'm gonna die anyway, right? This is my last meal. Like, let me go out comfortably. Like,
that is true.
Anthony, what's your last meal looking like?
I'm thinking chicken, rice, beans, vegetables. Gosh, what kind of drink is that? Probably some water with lemon. Yeah, that's what I'd eat. Like a nice, simple, and healthy meal.
Me and Zach over here with the big, interesting meals. Yeah. Meanwhile, Gabe and Anthony over there. Just some little bit of beans. Tiny bit of rice. Dude, it's the last meal, and you want fucking rice?
Yeah, bro.
I mean, yeah, I like rice.
Yeah,
Although, to be fair, that is a very, like, on one hand, it's a very generic meal. On the other hand, if you don't end up dying, then it's like, hey, I just had dinner.
For Puerto Ricans, rice is the staple food.
I think rice is, like, one of the most, like, popular foods in the world.
It's very easy to make, too. You just put it in a pot and boil it. Throw some salt in there, I guess.
What kind of rice?
White rice.
Just white rice?
So yeah, you gotta do is you throw it in the pot with some oil, fry it for a little bit, and you throw some water and salt in there, and boom. Gucci.
Okay.
So, my next question, since we asked what's everyone's last meals looking like, what's everyone's last day? Like, you get told you die tomorrow, right? Like, let's say it's Wednesday. You get told that you on Friday you're going to die. What's everyone's Thursday looking like? You know, what's... Hey, you have one day to be alive. What's that looking like?
I am sending Anthony every single one of my story drafts and unfinished ideas so that A, he can keep them safe, or B, actually release them posthumously.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? I have access to your shit too, just in case, right? We mentioned that once in a blue moon long ago.
Yeah, like 5 years ago or something. I don't know why. I was like stressed and I was like, man, what if something happens to me and like I don't publish anything? So I sent him a file that he has access to stories I've worked on.
Anthony, your job is also to like come over to my place and just hide everything.
I'll just burn the room.
Delete the hard drives. Yeah.
Ring the magnets. Delete. Wipe the drive. Take out all the anime that's in the corner.
Zach, what's your last day looking like?
Well, so how many hours I got?
You have a whole day. You have the whole 24 hours to live.
Alright. I wasn't sure, like, maybe I found out like midway through the day that like I ain't gonna make it, you know.
Yeah. In the middle of a business meeting, you're like, damn, I'm gonna fucking die. Yeah, this but, is your doctor's, know, like, even the doctor's
office. He's like, you got until like 12 PM tomorrow. And I'm like, ain't no way. You telling me I got to 12 PM.
Dog, you're capping.
Like, so so if I had the whole day to do whatever I wanted, right? Like, you know, my last day. Well, if I had to work, I probably wouldn't go to work. The only reason I'd go to work is to just see some of the people that I do enjoy talking to, and that's about it. But otherwise, no, I'm not working. Everything that I've ever worked on creatively, kind of like what Gabe was saying and like my brother, like I have all that stuff kind of like backed up on a file, and I don't send it to anyone, but it is all on a page. All of my poems are all on a page. And so I think that I would definitely like send that to someone. Be like, yep, email that to you. And I would probably also, I don't even know, maybe try to, you know, get some good food, you know, like we were saying in the last question, like, I'm going to try to get some good food. Do as much as I can and talk to as many people as possible as well. And, you know, tell them, hey, like, this is probably going to be, like, it for me, right? I'm probably not making it past tomorrow. So, you know, and then try to, like, say all my goodbyes to people in the best ways I can, you know, and then spend, I guess, my last night with my parents. Yeah, that's probably what I do.
A man's inviting everyone to go out for beef Wellingtons and be like, hey, yo, I'm about to go.
with Gordon Ramsay, yeah.
Going with Yeezy tomorrow, bro.
I like how he said, I probably wouldn't go to work. Like, it's not a full send. Just like,
if asked kindly enough, he would be like, you know what? I'd give you like a couple hours of my last day on Earth.
He's like, oh, we got no one to cover you. He's like, oh, okay, I'll come in.
And they're like, okay, yes, we need you to cover this like sports event real quick. You'd just be like, well, since you asked.
Since you asked so nicely.
I like how Michael's picturing the sport event. I'm thinking him working as a cashier at his other job.
Anthony, what's your last day looking like?
My last day. I mean, only thing I could really think of is just planning to spend it with people I care about. I don't really got like anything else. I don't like, if it's my last day, I don't really care about stuff I own. Like, I don't know, might try to like box some of it up, but like I just want to spend it with people I care about.
Let us know if you need us to get rid of anything.
There's any hard drives you need deleted. It's very interesting hearing everyone's last days, because for me, I would commit crimes.
Oh my god.
Right? Because, like, what's the difference between dying to a gunshot versus dying in your sleep? You're still dead. You're still a corpse. So, like, just commit some crimes, you know?
That's what my last day would be.
One seems a lot more painful than the other one, not gonna lie.
Well, how about like, how people remember you?
24 hours, and then I'm dead.
Respect and remembrance, right? And like, oh, well, this guy committed a crime, and then he died, you know? But like, if you just die peacefully, no chaos, it's like, that was cool, dude.
I'd be remembering the history books. You all, you're just spending time with your families. Me, like, on the other hand.
A hero versus being an anti-hero.
Michael's out here committing tax evasion on his last day of life.
Michael really said, I'm going to live, you know, it's the live long enough to see yourself become the villain. That's really what he was saying there. Like,
he's out here jaywalking in the street.
Jaywalking in kind of a thought.
Living like
it would be more than just jaywalking. But no, I mean, like, if you're gonna die, like, why die in such a, in my opinion, in such a boring fashion? You know, like, it's really like, oh, I'm gonna spend time with the kids and sit on my little rocking chair and pass away. No, fuck that. I want to be fucking knee deep in coke, snorting the last strains of my brain cells away, and then succumbing to wounds. That's a lot. That's what my death wish wants to be.
Michael wants to succumb to bullet poisoning.
It seems we just differ in our philosophies.
Yeah. I feel like that's a bit too much for my taste.
Speaking of differing in philosophies, the next question that I have: afterlife, yes or no? Let's get into the afterlife debate. Why not?
Very controversial question.
Well, I mean, at this point, we're dead, right? Yeah. We had our last meal. We had our last day on Earth. Where we go? Some people even are like, I'm pretty sure, aren't they becoming trees now? Isn't that like the...
What the fuck? Talking about
I swear to God, there's like a new post-mortem process that, like, you get put into a giant seed, and then you become a tree.
You're telling me is that I can become an acorn tree and get people to eat my nuts?
Yes.
This pleases me. I'm very interested in this process, though.
It's a very, very bizarre process.
What do you mean by afterlife? Like, metaphysical or, like, literal? physical world, afterlife. Now, you're talking about the soul, or you're talking about physically, like your body becoming a nut factory?
Well, I was more referring to soul.
Okay.
Right? Like, where... Because some people do believe that there's a straight up a heaven and a hell. Other people believe in reincarnation.
Samsara.
Yeah. The constant want to achieve nirvana.
Hmm.
Other people believe that there is no afterlife. So it's a very interesting case topic to report, especially because, you know, no one has been able to respond to those questions because they're dead.
You're the people that get, what's that shit called? Resuscitated? Yeah, resuscitated. Were they
actually, talking about.
Were they actually dead or just having like a hallucination while being in a dead-like state?
Oh, yeah, and like if you come back for something like that, one of the symptoms, I don't know if that's the right word, is you have a feeling of euphoria.
You know what the weird thing is, like, what is death exactly? Like, in those cases? How do you, at what point is the body dead?
I don't know either. Like, I feel like biologically,
it's hard to define, even from, like, a biological standpoint. Like, at what point is the body considered dead? Because even when the heart stops...
I guess, like, zero activity in the brain, something like that. I don't know. Zach, do you have any idea?
What the fuck's the question? I forget.
When is someone considered dead?
On a physical level.
On a physical level? Oh, so...
See, for me,
I think it has more to do with the pulse activity, but because like if you don't have a pulse for a certain amount of time, obviously that means that you're going to lose oxygen to the brain because you're not going to have that pulmonary pressure pushing the oxygen through. So maybe it'd have to do with the brain activity then, but it would definitely start with the heart. And there'd definitely be a time limit. I don't know what the time limit is to that, but like, I don't know, like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that, I feel like.
Here's my problem with like defining it with pulse activity or brain activity. People still consider comatose, like zero brain activity patients to be alive and keep them alive in hospitals. And the same thing with the heart is like, even when your heart stops beating, it can be resuscitated by kickstarting the heart again.
There were also times back in during the Revolution of France, during the age of the guillotine, where the heads would still have movement after they've been severed, and the eyes would still dart around and still acknowledge like what was going on.
Right.
So really, like what is death? What does it mean to be dead? Right, if I work a boring 9-to-5, and I'm emotionally absent, is that a death?
That sounds like disassociation.
Hmm. You want to get even more like weirded out? Have you guys ever watched the documentary, the experiments in the resuscitation of animals?
No, I've never heard of it.
So it's this old video that appears to have come from the Cold War era. The only copy of it we have is a copy of English, like translated copy, but it's about this scientist in Russia who was experimenting on severed heads, trying to figure out how to resuscitate animals, creatures, and whatnot. And in the video, we see he has a machine that's supposed to like pump blood. And he does it to a dog's head, and the dog's head starts to move, starts to react. And at first, you would think it's just like certain, like, automatic, like, you know, movements or whatnot that happen sometimes. Like, Mike was talking about the how heads would still be blinking after the guillotine would cut them off.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, in the actual video, he actually, like, starts prodding the head with, like, citrus and whatnot, and the dog actually reacts to it, like, how a dog would. So the question is, was that dog actually like brought back to life? Thing is, we're not exactly sure how real the video is. Again, it was found in an archive, I think. Not a lot is known. The actual scientist in it is a real scientist, and I think, funny enough, he did build a machine that was actually vital to, I think, repumping blood in the circulatory system, similar to the one he uses in the video, but we've never really been able to corroborate like what he's done. Some scientists who claim to have worked with him says that it was not, as the video implies, that the dog did not last long. After it got resuscitated, it was only like a minute or two that it was like that, and then it died again. Others have claimed that it was much longer. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. It's a very interesting video to watch. It was the inspiration for the Metallica music video for All Nightmare Long. Little side note.
Yeah, it's interesting. No, I never heard of this.
Look it up. It's the resuscitation of experiment in the resuscitation of animals, if I think.
I guess as long as there's blood and nutrients, you could technically have a severed head go for as long as you want. And mind you, it won't be able to respond. You'll still have the electromagnetic pulses coming from the brain, but even then, it's going to be very faint.
So you guys want to know what the legal definition of death?
What's the legal definition of death?
So the legal definition is the cessation of all vital functions, cessation of respiration, cessation of circulation, and the possibility of resuscitation. So the idea of death in the legal sense is the fact that they cannot be brought back to life. Once we can't bring it back to life, then they consider that a death, at least legally.
So then are people in vegetative states, like, would you consider them dead?
Well, here's the thing, right?
I mean, it sounds like not by legal standards.
That's weird. Very weird.
Because, like, it, you know, as you mentioned, comatose, if you have a person who's on life support, right, and their breathing is automated through a machine, but they're not responsive, should that be legally considered alive? Should they have to pay taxes? That's the real question.
Oh my god, Michael, every comatose patient's committing tax evasion.
Well, we gotta get the IRS on this right away.
Yep.
Right away.
You guys know about the Lazarus reflex?
The what?
The Lazarus sign or Lazarus reflex.
Sounds like a fucking DC thing.
No, so the Lazarus reflex, you know how, like, because I was thinking about this while you guys were talking about stuff. You know how they cross the arms? There's, like, the crossed arm thing, like, with, like, the dead, right? So the Lazarus reflex is a reflex of movement in brain dead or brainstem failure patients, and it causes them to briefly raise their arms and drop them crossed on their chest. It's a phenomenon that can occur, and it normally occurs after cardiac arrest, after 10 minutes after, like, you know, they're you know, essentially dead, but they come back to life, and that's why it's called the Lazarus, because it's the phenomenon named after Lazarus of Bethany, who Jesus raised from the dead according to the Gospel of John, but it's like a knee jerk reflex. And it's an example of a reflex mediated by a reflex arc, which passes through the spinal column, not through the brain. Yeah. I think it's pretty crazy, but I remember watching a TED talk, about some topic. It was actually about sex, and they had mentioned this and about how, what is it? I'm trying to remember the exact thing. I'd have to rewatch it but they had mentioned the Lazarus reflex at some point. And I was like, you know what? We're talking about, like, you're talking about the, that scientist, right? And the doctor with the dog, right? And, like, messing with him and, how the head was active. And I was, and that made me think of the Lazarus reflex. So it's when someone declared dead from cardiac arrest suddenly shows sign of life, usually within 10 minutes of CPR ending.
So during that, I have a question. Should resources be put into people who could technically be considered dead? Because I'm thinking of like the drug Narcan, right? And if someone ODs and or they're dying, should resources be put into saving a person?
I mean, they're not dead yet, at least by legal definition, because you can resuscitate them. Plus, legally, they're not considered dead. So I guess in that case, it would be, instead of thinking of it as, do we waste resources on the dead, it would be, the question would be, do we waste resources on the sick who are close to death? I think the answer would be yes, at least.
Yeah, he's got a better way of putting it. And I know in some cases, too, like, people will wait until someone is, like, dead. Then, like, they don't have... So they don't waste... I'll put waste in quotes, money or resources.
It's one of those, like, weird things to think about, because death is also just such a broad term, you know?
I don't think we've talked about the medical definition of death. It's the irreversible cessation of bodily functions is what how doctors essentially define death, when everything in the body starts to like just shut down and we cannot resuscitate it. It gets to a point where we cannot like kickstart it. That is when they consider it dead.
Yeah, but that's the medical and by terms legal definition, but I don't know. To me, it just seems like there's so many like other like definitions for death, right? If someone is emotionally malnourished, is that considered death?
They've lost their sapience is what you're trying to say, or they just lost their like will to live.
We'll say will to live. Like, if someone is just, like, just a zombie, right? They wake up, they do the same things day after day after day. You know, what I'm trying to dive into is more broader definitions of what is death. Because sometimes death is, in my opinion, death is not just a physical thing, right? And especially because we use the words, you know, oh, it's this thing is dead, right? Oh, the car battery is dead, no longer works.
I'm assuming you believe in the existence of the human soul, then.
Not only the soul. I'm trying to dive into more like as I said, what is? Are there any more definitions of death that we can think of?
I mean, if you believe in the metaphysical, I guess you can argue that the soul leaves the body, it would be death.
I mean, kind of going off what Michael was saying, I was thinking about, like, the idea of... And, like, what you were saying with losing, what was it, began with an S, cessation?
Sapience?
Sapience, thank you. What if you, like, lose your consciousness? Like, the consciousness you had at that point? Like self-death, which I've heard is something that has happened to people on drugs.
Even things that aren't sapient, I would argue, are still alive, no? Plants don't really have sapience. They have a little bit of sentience, but they're not sapient yet. I would still argue that it's a living creature.
No, I agree with you there. I mean, like, the person that once was is no longer that person.
Like the destruction of the identity, the ego, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. Or even, you know, how people are like, oh, they lost their innocence. It's the death of their innocence, you know? Even then, like, it's just very weird. Like, death is such a broad terminology.
It's definitely used in a lot of ways other than just, like, the basic One.
So then I'm curious as well going into that. Because we all play video games and we all consume media to some degree, what is death in terms of media? Like, is a game with like only 100 players considered a dead game? Or is it a game that no longer gets updates?
See here, this topic, very expansive. Lots of almost subtopics about this topic. And talking about, you know, social media, talking about video games and the death of certain things, I can certainly say, like, I think of people on social media and, like, almost like when you get, like, you know, people getting canceled, right? Is that is almost like the, you know, the death of their career, or sometimes the death of the identity of that person sometimes, you know, on social media. And sometimes you see people change, you know, sometimes because personalities of people change, you know, maybe they are killing off their old ego, their old identity, right? So because people, you know, are always growing and changing and pivoting and shifting. So, like, I think that, yeah, when you look at it from that perspective, things can die and do die all the time. You know, careers and, like, you know, and video games, you know, stuff, all that. So I think that, like, you know, we're really on to something with this topic.
And that's kind of why I wanted to bring it up, because, you know, like I said, with games, and especially if we really want to get into it, TV shows, like, what's a dead show? What is a dead game?
No, I'll say this, as someone who plays Star Wars The Old Republic, and I log in sometimes with only like 10 people in an instance sometimes, which is very low for an MMO.
So is that game considered a dead game, or is that game still alive because there's 10 people?
But a trailer came out like 2 years ago for an update that they're working on, so I guess it's not dead technically yet. I don't know. The community is still around, so I think that is what keeps it alive. I would consider it still alive anyway. Granted, I could just be coping, because I don't want my, I don't want Star Wars The Old Republic to go away.
I mean, the other big thing, and I'm going to swing this back around to animation, is a show dead? At what point is a show considered dead? Like, when it stops making sales? Or when it stops producing episodes?
Is it even dead, though, at that point? Is it considered dead? I don't think a show could really ever be considered dead until people stop caring about it. Because even when a show stops producing episodes, it goes into syndication, or people still talk about it online. It's kept alive by its fans at that point.
I mean, like, but if a show doesn't get renewed for season two, but still making merchandise,
because there's still
that show would still be alive.
I would consider it so. If there are people still interested in it, still talking about it, it's still alive. I mean, there are shows where we're gonna get to a point where some of the shows we've watched, everyone involved in it's gonna be dead. It's still gonna be talked about. It's still gonna be enjoyed by people. We're getting near to that point in like the original Star Trek series. A lot of the actors are just gone now. But I guarantee you, even past their death, people are still gonna be like big fans of the original series. Spock still gets a bunch of merch. People still love him. Leonard Nimoy is dead. I think at that point,
Leonard Nimoy dead.
Yeah,
yeah, he's been dead. No
fucking way.
Well, you didn't know Leonard Nimoy was dead
for a while.
Yeah, you didn't know.
Damn,
how many years has it been? Like one or two, right?
Oh, it's more been a while.
It's been a while.
The only thing that I know that, like, the only reason I know Leonard Nimoy is dead is Kingdom Hearts 3. So when did Kingdom Hearts 3 come out? Because that's the only... That was around the time he died.
Bro, it's been like 8 years. More than 8 years since he died. Nearly a decade at this point. Zach, what the hell, bro?
You better tell me David Bowie's dead. No, he did.
You're definitely capping on that.
I know, I knew about that one. Unfortunately. But, you know.
Anyone else?
Like Wilder?
Oh, what next? You're going to tell me Prince is dead?
You're going to tell me Freddie?
No, he's fine. He's actually
hiding. Prince is fine?
Yeah, he's hiding. I'm telling you. He's with Biggie and Tupac.
Yeah. At ShopRite. 3-man change. So to go back to your question about media, I think it really, a death only occurs when the fans stop caring about it. I think it's independent from the actual production of the show.
Oh yeah, I could agree with that.
Do you think that the death of a creator of a series will forever impact that series?
I mean, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Well, it depends, because like most teams have writers and whole production staff. So what they'll do, sadly, is they'll just replace the person.
Like, so specifically, I want to ask Tony. Yo, Tonio, do you think the death of Berserk's creator has impacted the trajectory of the series and of that, you know, the content that comes out?
Yeah. So we don't know exactly how far he was along with it, but it's estimated, I don't know, I heard anywhere from 60 to like 80% of the way through the series. And then the only way that we're getting new chapters is from his friends. Like his friend, what he was told by the creator, and he's putting it down on paper from memory. So I think some of it's going to be a little adjunct. Parts are probably not going to be as in detail compared to what the author would have wanted.
I see. And Healer, Mike, I need to ask you, do you think that the death of the creator of Ruby has impacted that?
I was just about to bring that up too.
heavily. Especially because you're dealing with such a at the time it was a minor project. The death of a creator in that instance, definitely it greatly affects the content that is published, because you're losing the original vision and you're relying so heavily on other people to try and pick that up and carry it, and not everyone has that same point of view and that same style of output. Now my question in response to that question is, if a voice actor dies, is it okay to use, is it okay to get a new voice actor? Or should that character also die off?
All right, so I know, I think it's over in Japan, right? They don't reuse voice actors, right? Because I know we had in Persona, that the guy that's in the one room.
Igor. The Japanese voice actor for Igor died.
Yeah, and they aren't gonna reuse that. And like, I completely respect that. Yeah, I think honestly, so using a voice lines that maybe been pre-recorded and stuff like that, do I think it's okay and do I think it's not okay? So I think at the time that it happens, right? I would refer to the family of that person, maybe the wife, or the mother, or the father, or whoever, you know, and work with them and work with, you know, the team that, they, you know, hopefully they may have someone or some, maybe like legally they have a team put together, some of that. But I think from that point on, like, I wouldn't until we came to a conclusion that it was okay and it was acceptable to do that. But because sometimes, you know, because you don't know what the person who died might have wanted, and maybe they would have wanted their work to continue on after them, but maybe they didn't. Maybe they're like, you know, that's it. So I would refer to the people closest who may have the answers to that.
I'm going to say, at least legally, if you recorded something, the company owns it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The lines.
I was just thinking, because, like, for someone, so we're going to dive into this. Nickelodeon's SpongeBob. Mm-hmm. If the voice actor for SpongeBob dies, right? Well, what then? Do you keep trying to do SpongeBob? For some people, in some companies, absolutely, you keep using it until it's gone.
Then get a new guy.
Yeah.
I'll say this. A lot of the characters I grew up with have multiple voice actors. Optimus Prime has, like, three major ones I can think of. Plus a few minor guys who have popped up here and there. You always have Peter Cullen, then Gary... Wasn't it Gary Chalk? Did him for like a few years for a few series, then Peter Cullen came back. Now there's a new guy for some of the newer series.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really affect much. I mean, as long as it sounds close enough to the iconic original voice, it's not bad. Sometimes people like that specific voice actor for that character. I mean, even in Ruby, right? Monty's character, was it Ren, right? They changed him.
I don't remember. The other reason why I bring this up is for, like, online games like Siege or Overwatch, etc. If you have a voice actor die, you know what's better? Do you send that? Do you try and find another voice actor to replace that character, or do you just send that character away? Do you just write them off?
I think they just have them re-record all the lines and use that person going forward.
To me, like, it's kind of fucked. You know, just to go like, yeah, you know, the voice actor for Tracer is dead. So what we're going to do is we're just going to, you know, take all of her lines and either like run it through AI, or we're going to just rewrite it entirely. Like it's one of those things where it's like, it's completely fucked up.
So it happens constantly. Like, changing the voice actor is very common in the industry, unfortunately. I'm still upset over Lucina's change from Laura Bailey to the new chick. I like both of them, but I do prefer Laura Bailey's over hers. Sorry, Zach, I think I cut you off.
Yeah, I'm also thinking, like, from a non-animated side, right? Because non-animated, like, obviously, I mean, Chadwick Boseman, right? You know, he died, you know, RIP. You know, he's a very well-respected actor, he's a really good actor, but, you know, he died, and everyone, you know, he was in the Black Panther, and, like, going forward, spoiler here, he wasn't in the second one. Yeah, he didn't, you know, they, in the beginning of it, what I thought was really honorable, actually, in the beginning of it, they had a funeral for him in the beginning of the Black Panther movie. That's what the whole beginning intro part is, they're having a funeral for him because they had made it so in the MCU he actually, you know, his character died, and they had a funeral in the movie for him, and the movie was, you know, in honor as like a posthumous, you know, art, you know, it was art, and what they did with that, you know, and it was just really, really cool, and I really respected the move. But obviously it's might not, even if they wanted to, it, like, still, like, one, they probably wouldn't have had lines, and secondly, with it being not animated and actually being more live, you know, live action type of film, it would definitely would have been hard if they tried to, you know, keep his character alive. I mean, they could have, like, recast it or whatever, but no, they decided to let the legacy of the Black Panther character die with him, and I respect that a lot. And then, you know, they passed it on to his younger sister, you know, as the new kind of Black Panther, but his character, what he had and what he stood for, you know, with the funeral was really, really cool.
I know we talked about this during our segment on AI, but, like, if you have the ability to recreate the actor, right? Because they did that for Doomsday. Lyrical Lemonade remade the face of Juice WRLD, right? In that music video. So then, if a person's dead, do you like still reuse their assets? Do you still like, okay, you have Chadwick Boseman appear on like holograms and stuff to continue to sell?
If I'm not mistaken, that I think we reached for that discussion, I think one of the conclusions we were getting to was that it really depends on who owns that asset then. Is the guy dead? Does he own it? Or does his state own it? That's the real question. At least in terms of like written work, if I'm not mistaken, it works on, there is a set number of time where specific IPs and copyrights, at least for authors, do go into public domain after some time after their deaths. So the question is, are we ever going to get to a point where, hey, do I own my likeness? And does my likeness go into public domain after I die or sometime after I die?
Speaking of, isn't it kind of fucked how, like, when a person dies, they suddenly become, like, super popular? If you think about it. No, seriously, like, okay, you have this, like, fucking random, like, I think it was Da Vinci, right? Da Vinci was one of those people were just like, yeah, all right, whatever. And then he died. And then not only that, but like, to be fair, Da Vinci also got famous because the Mona Lisa got stolen. Yeah. But isn't it kind of fucked how like people become more popular when they're dead than when they were alive?
You know what it is? I hate to put it in these terms, but that's how reality is. It's a supply and demand issue. All of a sudden, the supply is gone. I want some of that shit because I have FOMO now. But so there's a higher demand for it. It's like if we're talking about music industry, all of a sudden, oh, that artist is never going to produce any more music. I want to buy like her current CDs now. Part of it's part of the grieving process, I guess. Like, oh, my favorite singer died. Let me grab some mementos to like remember them by, but that also increases the sales.
It almost makes you question with all these singers that have died, you know, is it an accident? Or maybe big music is out for them.
I shot my man Tupac.
Yeah, little did you know, Death Row Records is actually coming after artists.
There's a reason they got that name. There actually is a thing, I don't know if you guys know about it, but like in the music industry, they'll give you a loan for, I don't know, a couple $1 million to make music and make that money back and get them profit. So, you know, maybe it's worth it for them if you don't make that loan money back. I don't know. I'm just speculating.
I mean, speaking of, like, supply and demand and all that, I don't know why, I flashed back to, like, Technoblade. And how everyone, like, even people who did know Technoblade were just, like, coming out of the woodwork and using his name to kind of, like, gain views and stuff like that. Like, it's kind of fucking twisted, really. It's like, I'm gonna use the name of this dead person to boost my popularity.
3 a.m. Ouija challenge videos.
Yeah, fair enough.
Remember that shit? I say remember as if it's still not going on, but remember that shit?
Calling someone at 3 a.m. or midnight.
Someone who just died.
Yeah, who's that one guy? Like,
J3? Not J3. The one that jumped off the bridge?
No.
Did he finally get banned?
Oh, yeah, dude. He got banned years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, but then he come back on their new channel and claimed that it wasn't his channel. He was just a host on it.
Yeah, but they banned that one as well. The dude had multiple channels that several of them got banned. Mudahar was kind of like out for this guy because he knew that Jay Station was a bad dude.
So, should we do things like show death in media?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's part of
yeah, life. It's one of the most natural. Like, so you've got three things you do in life. You're born, you live, you die, and they're all natural.
It's also great for, like, plot device. Like, it helps move stories along, I would also say.
Well, I mean, some people, like, especially if you turn on, like, the news, some people genuinely just don't want to see, like, death, you know? And when they're sipping their morning coffee, you know, they just genuinely... Okay. For our listeners, weird interactions were just exchanged. It was very bizarre to see.
We have video on. You guys can't see it, but like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
It's weird. I don't know either.
Stay on topic, guys.
All right, anyway. Zach. Death in media. What do you think? Should death be put on the news?
Yo, my dog. Let me explain. Death, I was going to ask you a question yourself, but should death be put on the news? Oh, wow. Honestly, because I'm really, the thing I'm thinking about, right, is are we becoming desensitized to it, right? Are we becoming desensitized to a lot of tragedies that we see because they are being put on there, right? And we're like, oh my God, like, this is crazy. Like, I can't believe this. But we see it all the time. It's just like, oh, that happened. You hear Drake drop the new song? Like, you know, it's like, it's, I think that we should know about these events that occur. I think that the graphic nature of some content is definitely like advisory warning. Maybe put that on there, make it the discretion of the network. I think it's a really a hard, you know, choice. You know, hard decision. 'Cause I mean, if it's a public network, public airing, right? If you're watching on your just a local news station and you see some crazy event happen, it's like, oh, a bunch of people, you know, died. And it's like, oh, wow. That could be traumatizing to some children that might be in the living room watching the news, right? Because, not everyone is an adult that might be watching it. So I think it's important that they at least put a advisory notice beforehand. Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about mentioning death, I think, right?
I thought they were talking about showing it.
Showing what? It. Like,
you, so like, graphic?
If you turn on the TV and you go to the news and it shows you, sure, it's blurred, but they show you dead bodies. And they go, oh, the body count was in the hundreds today, the bombing and yeah, it was the sex numbers. Just dead bodies having sex. No, but if they show you like dead bodies on the news, like what's the opinion on that? Should they?
It sells.
Should they show you like here's some corpses?
We've gotten to a point. Here's the thing, right? The world has always been fucked up. Like, death, murder, that's always been happening, right? I think in more recent years, the news media, people forget it's a business. They realize that shit sells. So they purposely put that shit on TV right in front of your face just specifically to get you interested. It's like, I think at one point, like, violent crime was going down. Yeah, if you look at like newspapers and news, you would not really realize that because they're just always constantly talking about it. As a result, we've become desensitized to it. like, oh, another kill, whatever, right? We're not like in shock or all, but people still gravitate toward it for some reason.
Well, you're right. It does sell, and we're more psychologically attracted to negative news because it's an adaptation that humans have learned, where those who stay in the know-how of like bad things going on are aware of the like state of the our environment.
Yeah, it's not just humans. You know, crows actually, if they find a dead body, they will like call other crows so they can investigate to see what the hell happened.
I don't know. I did not know that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I knew that.
A murder.
Yeah, the murder is investigating the murder.
Yeah. That should be a comic.
Yeah, crows as detectives, just like figure out like.
I was gonna say like a dark Zootopia movie.
I want it to be like a what's a like Casablanca, like dude, like crow comes in smoking a mini cigarette with a hat on, like you call me back after all these years.
Very macabre.
You caught me back after all these years.
Macabre-topia. Noir, black and white.
Four seasons of the movie, let's go.
And then when I die, like they'll try to get me to redo the voices for it, but like I'll have it written in my original agreement, like, no, it dies with me, suckers.
What do you think about the in television and movies, you know, and other forms of media, the different depictions of death or the Grim Reaper, like a manifesto of death type, you know, like what you think about the many versions of death and what version truly is death do you think is the best, you know, version that, you know,
I mean, seen? That whole thing depends on the creator, right? Because you could just have death just be the void, right, in creative media outlets. And obviously, since, you know, we can't go ask the corpses in the local graveyard, you know, how they, you know, what is the afterlife like?
You tell me you don't have a scroll of speak with dead on you at all times?
No, I sadly do not keep the spell animate dead on me at all times. It's not one of my prep spells. Sorry.
Damn, bro.
Gabe, you had something you wanted to say?
No, I know we meant. I think I mentioned it earlier how death is important sometimes to the narrative structure. Just want to go back to that real quick and elaborate on that. I just want to say that when it comes to like shaking things up for the plot as a motivator for the protagonist, death can be one of those great motivators. Like it can send them on a quest, death of a mentor, things like that. Same way how it can also be like the climax, like death of the villain at the end could be the resolution to like an end, like a story. Death could also be like one of the major turning points. We talk about even like going back to like some of the older tales. We look at the Epic of Gilgamesh, right? What kickstarts Gilgamesh's descent into like the, or not descent, but traveling to like the afterlife. It's the death of Enkidu. He's afraid. Yes, he becomes extremely afraid of death. So he goes out to try to figure out a way to become immortal. But even before that, he tells Enkidu multiple times that he wants to like live on after death, like in the hearts of like his subjects or whatnot. So
should main characters die?
Depends.
Should main
on the
characters
story.
And stories just die? You know, or should it only be reserved to side characters and villains?
I think traditionally, it's better to keep the main characters alive. But no, I think it's fine to kill them off too. But I would say that for special circumstances only.
What special circumstances are those?
I think you just need to know quite a bit about writing and the sort of techniques people use. Like if there's a character and I'd kill them off at like the end of a book, maybe. But like this isn't something that's going to be a surprise. It's something the reader is well aware of going in several chapters ahead, and It's like, oh, yes, like, I'm suffering from a terminal illness, and these are my last, like, 180 days to live.
To make a fire is a great example of, like, that guy needs to die at the end. Have you guys read that from Jack London, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. I read it.
The whole story is about this guy very stupidly going with his dog to walk the middle of the, was it Alaskan?
Yes.
Alaskan wilderness, and the guy's clearly very ill prepared. And I think at one point his foot falls into like ice water or whatever.
Yeah, that happens.
And he like, well, I gotta make a fire now, otherwise I'm gonna fucking freeze, right?
Oh, and wait a second. Isn't this the story where he like tries to gut his dog?
He thinks about it, but he doesn't do it though.
Ah.
But like the whole story, like you already know this guy's gotta die. And I don't think that story would be as effective if he like randomly got saved at the end. The fact that he dies at the end, we know he's gonna die. But I think like it works perfectly for that story. It's like man arrogant enough to go out in the world. Yeah, going out in the wilderness, clearly doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. Eventually falls to nature, unfortunately, because of his own arrogance.
I think stories like that are very, very anticlimactic. Because you said, like, okay, you know the guy's going to die at the end, right? He's doing everything wrong in the survival. I think if you're going to kill a main character, I think, quite frankly, it is either guns blazing, you know, it's, you know, one versus a million, kind of like in Halo Reach, or Red Dead Redemption. Spoilers, by the way, for games that came out in, like, 2012.
Calm down, spoilers, man.
We're going to throw a spoiler tag at the very start of this episode. I'm sorry. Or you set it up so that way, like, it always appears on even ground. And then the character dies. Because if you rig it against the character in any way, then people aren't sad, people are outraged. Right? But if you set it up either with a good enough environment, where the possibility of death is an occurrence, an example, MASH, right? MASH, Colonel Henry Blake, he gets his plane shot down, over the seas, and there's no survivors. You know, it's in a war type of setting, so it works out better that way compared to, well, this character is just gonna, you know, die because they're ill prepared for this forest. You know, I don't think it's a good story at that
point. Have you read the story?
Me?
Yes.
I think I did at one point. I think it was like for a class.
Michael, I just think the story is very successful.
Yeah, like the way how it's written.
Yeah.
Even if like in the back of their head, you know, oh, this guy's totally going to die. Just seeing him, his own struggle is what really sells it, I think. The panic. Sometimes it's not about the destination, you know, it's about the journey getting there. That's really like the main selling point.
I mean, I feel like if you know the character is going to die, it loses that interest. Because sometimes you want to see the character survive. And sometimes you want to sit there and see, like, okay, how are they going to get some out of this? You know, if you opened up a book, right, like Harry Potter, and you knew that at the end of it, all right, Harry's going to die. He's going to die killing Severus Snape. Then the entire book is just ruined. You're like, why should I care about this character or get invested in this character? Right? But if the ground is even, where it's you're seeing the constant back and forth struggles where, oh, okay, the villain gets the upper hand on the hero, and then the hero gets an upper hand on the villain, and it's a constant back and forth until eventually, bang, you know, the hero's dead. It draws you in more.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree on this point, because I think there are stories where, like, a lot of Shakespeare's tragedies are also like, you already know the tragedy is going to happen. Julius Caesar is going to get stabbed by Brutus and the other senators. But how they got there, how they do it, I think that's the intrigue.
I think I'm completely oblivious to a lot of things. And that book y'all just mentioned that's pretty famous by Jack London, I wouldn't have known he was going to die. I'll be honest with you. I would have thought, man, he might die. It's a possibility. But they ain't stating in the beginning it was going to happen. So it's really just for me to foreshadow that this mother was a dumbass and that something's going to happen. So it still might have been a little plot twist to me to be like, oh, damn, they really done did him like that. They really said this motherfucker's done.
And even then, something like Hamlet, like, that's because you've either read the story or you've read reviews of the story or to some point where, like, the mystery is root. Right? But if you're getting into, the, like, you know, as Zach just pointed out, if he had just picked up the book for the first time and he read that book, and he didn't know what was going to happen to the character, there's intrigue. There's mystery there. There's a nice, is he going to survive or not? And that's what makes a good book. You know, if you know who the murderer is in a fucking crime novel, then it kind of takes away from the mystery. The new mystery becomes, okay, well, does he get away with it?
I will say that obviously, when the movie Titanic came out, we knew what was going to happen in the end of the movie. Okay. So I will say that, like, there definitely is, like, a journey. And, like, what's the perspective they're going to do it of? Or what other characters do you meet along the way? What are some lessons you can learn? What is the theme of the story? Is there any, like, cool ways maybe of writing or of filming? What is the cinematography, you know? Of that. So I think that, yeah, like, there is a really important part about the journey too, because the journey is what really makes the end, right? That's what made the end. That's the equation. Now, that's the A minus B, you know, equals pi squared or whatever, right? You don't have that and have the ending. You can't have both of those, you know? So I think that's really, really important, is that they live together in harmony, and that, you know, You got to accept both of them, right? I think that's it.
Maybe the real treasure was all the icebergs we hit along the way.
Maybe the real treasure was our choices of last meals. Maybe that's what we really... We should have honestly...
Is it too late to change mine?
Huh?
Is it too late to change mine? I want some, like, chocolate milk and Oreo.
I was going to say, yeah. Anthony this entire time has been thinking about, damn, you know, I really shouldn't have made it just fucking rice and beans and fucking, yeah. I can't even remember what else you said for your...
You can't go wrong.
It was so bland. Beans.
Water and lemon.
I don't know about the water and lemon.
Water but... with the lemon.
I don't really like pop or soda.
Lamel.
For my final meal, I want it to be all 31 flavors of Baskin Robbins. I want to know the difference, damn it. My heart will not give out until I understand the difference.
Do we have anything else to discuss tonight?
I don't. I got nothing else.
Do you think,
Brian, I'm dead.
Do you think that in Overwatch 2, they killed Reinhardt? Do you think Reinhardt would be classified as dead? Do you think Tankville is dead?
That's it. That's an entirely different debate, and we do not have time for that. Else, this is going to be like a fucking 3-hour recording. We do not have the time for me to rant about Overwatch. You know what? Join us in the next episode where we rant about game balancing, and is it fucking fair?
The next episode is just Overwatch themed.
I've been Michael.
I've been Gab.
I've been your boy Z Money.
I've been Anthony.
We'll see you next time.
In like 5 months.
Whenever we record and whenever we remember about Overwatch. Goodbye.